Okay. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Triple Play Thursday. Sharon requested Sugar Rose. What's the name of this song? Sven Gelengler?
That sounds good to me.
Okay.
Sven Gulli?
Yeah, Sven Gulli. That's what it is. Berwyn! All right.
This song is 10 minutes, so maybe they throw that in somewhere.
All their songs. Aren't their songs all like 15 minutes long?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Sugar Rose. Okay. There you go, Sharon. Triple Play Thursday. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. You know what I forgot to ask Vic at the top of the show? Hey, Vic? I forgot to ask you something at the top of the show.
Yeah.
You know, the Cubs have now just won 3 straight against the Brewers. How are things at home?
Oh, it's just fabulous.
Yeah.
Never been better between us. Thank you, Nick.
You going to watch the game together today?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
I've already got the broom out. I left it in the living room for her, and I know she'll get it before she leaves for work.
Very cool. All right, I just had to ask. So, all right. Hi. So, Esmeralda, can you remember bad hosts of Saturday Night Live? You remember watching any episodes and going, man, this person should not host?
Oh, yeah. No, I've seen plenty. I can't think of any off the top of my head.
The first hosts that usually pop into your head, in my case at least, are either when sports figures or politicians host. Because, I mean, well, it's not their environment, you know. Some sports figures have done a great job. Like, the Manning brothers are phenomenal on SNL. They're hilarious. Charles Barkley, very funny, you know, on SNL. So sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. There's a few on these lists that I have that include sports figures. It's hit or miss, man. Whenever you have a sports figure on, it's hit or miss. Politicians, same thing, man. It's just, you know, it's not their deal. But these lists that I have were they bad hosts, but they were also sort of like really jerks behind the scenes. And some of the behind the scenes stories are really interesting. And some of them are from the great book Live from New York. If you've not read Live from New York by Tom Shales and, oh no, Dan, I'm blanking on the other author's name. It's on my coffee table. It's the centerpiece of my coffee table is James Andrew Miller. Right. Thank you. It is such an amazing book, and they updated it right before the 40th anniversary. So when the 40th anniversary happened, which was almost two years ago, when they were going into the 40th season, they re-released Live from New York with extra chapters and updates. Oh, God, it was so good. It's so good. Anyway, there are stories in there, great behind-the-scenes stories. Esmeralda, have you ever read Live from New York?
I have not.
Nobody is as big a fan of SNL as I am. So I've read it like 4 times. And I've read like 4 or 5 different SNL books. Some of them are good. Some of them. Jay Mohr wrote a great book about his time on SNL. It's called Gasping for Airtime. And it was about his. It was specifically about just his period on SNL. I mean, obviously, Jay Mohr has had a great career, you know, doing stand-up and doing movies and TV and stuff like that. But just the book is specifically about his time on SNL. That's a terrific book about what it's like to be a part of SNL. But some of these stories that we're going to say here appear in some of these books or have been talked about before. And the reason I brought this up is because the other day I watched the January Jones episode, which is on a couple of these lists as well. It was November 14th, 2009. And it's not that January Jones isn't funny, because she is. And, I mean, Esmeralda, you watched Last Man on Earth, right?
I've seen episodes, yes.
Okay, she's on that show. She's hilarious on it. So she's capable of being really funny. The writing was bad on the show. She looked like she was really not prepared. She broke during every sketch. You know, and everybody reads the teleprompters, or everybody reads the cue cards. That's just how it works. I don't think Christopher Walken has ever made eye contact with another actor in the 15 times he's hosted the show. I don't know. And, you know, during the cowbell sketch, one of the great things about the cowbell sketch, you know, which is obviously a legendary sketch, one of the great things about that sketch is that everybody else is breaking you know, and they're kind of like connected. And there's Christopher Walken, not even know. I don't even think he knows what's going on. You know, he's just, you know, he's looking straight at the cue cards. I put my pants on the same way as you, except when I'm done, I make gold records. You know, stuff like that. You know, the whole I got a fever and the only prescription is more cowbell. He's not looking at anybody during that. And that's one of the reasons why that scene gets lifted, that sketch gets lifted off the air into some other realm. I mean, the sketch is funny, you know, and everybody broke because do you know the story, Esmeralda?
Of
what, why everybody just suddenly just starts breaking. Obviously, Jimmy Fallon is known to break in everything. But when everybody on stage just loses it.
Oh, no. Why?
It's because during dress rehearsal, Will Ferrell had a shirt that actually fit. Right before the live show, he got a shirt that was two times too small for him so that when he was doing the cowbell thing, his belly would come out. And nobody knew he was going to do that. So that was when everybody just kind of lost it, except for Christopher Walken, who's reading the cue cards. So, but great stuff. All right, here's some of the people that are mentioned here. Justin Bieber, February 9th, 2013, when he hosted and was musical guest. There's a bunch of stories about this. Bill Hader was on Stern's show, and he said Justin Bieber shows up with like 20 guys. One guy holding a slice of pizza for him. One guy holding a Diet Coke. And they're all walking around the stage. So he came up with it. He just came in with an entourage, and people were not happy about that. You're trying to fight through these people because there were so many people backstage that you know. When you're doing SNL, you got to do quick changes. You know, you have to jump into, and they couldn't get past his entourage. Like Bill Hader was like, I'm trying to get in a costume for the next sketch, which is coming up in like 3 minutes, and I've got 12 guys standing backstage just wandering around. And he wasn't very funny on the show either. And evidently, he hates Kate McKinnon's impression of him. So, and Kate McKinnon's impression of him is just spectacular. So beautiful. How about you, Dan? Anybody pop into your head as being a bad host on SNL?
You know, coincidentally led to, I think, one of the funniest moments all time of Saturday Night Live. But I remember when Michael Jordan hosted, I was just started old enough to like have a critical eye towards things, but still be young enough to be really excited that it was on. So when that episode happened,
that was September of 91.
Right. Yeah. So it was one of those things where it's just like, oh, this isn't very good. And he's not very good. And this isn't really that funny. But then, of course, the infamous Stuart Smalley bit, you know, lives on of all time. That was fantastic.
It was a spotty show at best. You know, I mean, they did a Superfans episode where Chris Farley had like his Baker's Dozen heart attack. During that, that's where he coughs. I believe that's where he coughs up the pork chop. The whole pork chop gets coughed up at the table. So there was that, and they had Michael Jordan in there. You know, they actually wrote for his strength. That was a very African American episode because he was the host, and at that time nobody was. They had just won the first championship. It was September of 91. He was the host. The musical guest was P.E. And Apocalypse 91 had just come out. Their album Apocalypse 91 had just come out, and they did Can't Trust It, and I can't remember what other song they did. Night Train. They did Night Train. And that was also the episode where Jesse Jackson showed up and read Green Eggs and Ham on Weekend Update, which is hilarious. If you've never seen it, Jesse Jackson reading Green Eggs and Ham on Weekend Update was great. And also, they gave a lot to do that episode to Chris Rock. Chris Rock got to do Nat X on that episode, so it was definitely there was definitely an attempt to do a very very African American aimed episode, and in that regards, it was very very funny. But again, it goes back to the athlete. You know, some people get it. Peyton Manning, as I go back to the Manning brothers, Eli and Peyton Manning, both were, especially Peyton. Peyton Manning is really funny. And he's the one that did the. Do you remember the filmed bit that they did where he volunteered with kids?
And he starts cussing them out.
He's just whipping the ball at him and knocking him over and screaming at him and then getting him tattoos. Remember? If you've never seen that, it's great. So here's a guy that got completely banned. Adrian Brody was forever banned from SNL, and I'll tell you the story after we take a break. That's a we call that a tease. Right after he won the Academy Award for The Pianist, it was May of 2003. Adrian Brody hosted, and he has since been banned for life, and I'll tell you why. We're talking terrible hosts of SNL, 312-981-7200 for talk and text with your choices, 312-981-7200. Okay. Triple Play Thursday continues. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on WGN. Sigur Rós for Sharon. That song is called Rafstramordurber. I don't know what the hell's going on.
You did kind of sound like the Swedish chef, so.
I did. Oh, Borgy Borg. Okay. We are talking about bad SNL hosts. If you want to jump in with your talk or text, it's 312-981-7200. We're talking about not just hosts that were bad on the show and unfunny, but also hosts that were just bad while they were there. Adrian Brody, as I mentioned, he hosted on May 10th, 2003. This is like a couple of months after he won the Academy Award, the Best Actor Academy Award, for The Pianist. And he was hot at the time. So here's the thing. It's not that he was terrible on the episode. It wasn't a great episode. And he wasn't awful. I mean, you know, his monologue was pretty funny. They did the whole kissing thing. You know, remember when he won the Academy Award and he kissed Halle Berry? So they did the, you know, like the monologue kind of centered around him kissing a bunch of people inappropriately. And he delivered that fine. He did some okay. There were some okay sketches. It wasn't a great show by any stretch of the imagination. But the reason he got banned for life is because you don't do something on SNL without okaying it with Lorne Michaels. There are certain things that you can get away with, especially if you are somebody like Chris Farley, who swapped out a real coffee table for a balsa coffee table so he could fly, so he could smash through it during the first Matt Foley sketch during the live show. See, that kind of stuff happens. But when you're the host, you're supposed to follow procedure and do what you're supposed to do. Well, the musical guest that night was Sean Paul. So Adrian Brody decided he would come out with fake dreadlocks and do a bad sort of Jamaican accent introduction to Sean Paul. And what a host says, and everybody who watches SNL knows what the host says. They say, ladies and gentlemen, name of musical guest. That's it. That's all they say. That's every single intro. Pretty much all I mean, I wouldn't say all of them, but like 97% of every music guest introduction by the host is, I'll give you an example, ladies and gentlemen, U2. And then the second musical performance is, ladies and gentlemen, once again, U2. That's it. That's all you're supposed to say. He did like a minute and a half of some weird, wacky Jamaican character that he decided to do. And evidently, because Lauren watches every show, he's like right off stage, watching it through a monitor and next to the stage. And evidently, that sent Lauren through the roof. He went nuts. And from that point on, Adrian Brody has been banned forever from SNL. And it wasn't funny either. That was the other thing. I mean, maybe if he had done something funny, Lauren would have reprimanded him and said, don't do that. But it was funny. But it's not funny. We tried to find the audio of it. NBC was like, no, that you will not be seeing that. So, how about this? The guy who appears on the list, I have different lists here, but the guy who appears the most is Chevy Chase. Chevy Chase, who is notoriously known. And again, if you read any SNL book, especially Live from New York, consistently every single person who's interviewed for those books says that Chevy Chase is an a-hole. Every single person. His first hosting gig was when he left the show after the first season. And then Bill Murray came in to replace him. February 18th, 1978 was the first time he came back to host. He and Bill Murray got into a fist fight. And at the end, when they're doing the goodbyes, you can see the cast members trying to hold Bill Murray back because Bill Murray wanted to kill him. So if you ever see that episode again, and but the story again, the story behind that is that Belushi egged on Murray. Like Belushi was talking crap into Murray's ear. So Belushi evidently is to blame for Murray going after Chevy Chase. And I love the detail of that story. Could you see Belushi with his eyebrow just going, yeah, he's really talking some junk about you, man. I think you should go over and punch him in the face. But every time Chevy Chase has hosted, there's been bad stories surrounding it. And the last time he ever hosted was in 1997. And he's come back here and there for, you know, cameos, and he was there, obviously. You can't do the 40th anniversary of SNL and not have Chevy Chase there, especially not have him do, like, a Weekend Update segment. You have to. But he was banned from that, and here's what happened. This is a crazy story, too, Esmeralda. When he came back in 1997 was the Will Ferrell, Sherry O'Terry, Molly Shannon, you know, that era. And Chris Kattan and all those guys. So the final straw came in 1997 when apparently a hot-headed Chevy Chase hit Sherry O'Terry on the back of the head. And smacked her on the back of the head. And Will Ferrell then complained to Lorne Michaels, and he was never invited back. He just made cameo appearances since then because he smacked Sherry O'Terry in the head. He's such a jerk. Oh, man. Such a jerk. We got some texts here. Jay in Ohio. Oh, this is true. This is absolutely true. And if you ever get a chance, Nick, Milton Berle has my vote for worst SNL host of all time. If you can find that episode where Milton Berle hosted Saturday Night Live, if you can find it, it's on every list here. 79, April 14th, 1979. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Here's the way they describe it. Milton Berle's run as host is what nightmares are made of. The comedian ignored instructions from the director. He stuck to his own outdated gags, which included wacky spit takes and bad ad-lib jokes. Even worse, he closed the show with an abysmal performance of September Song and guaranteed a standing ovation thanks to his friends and family who were in the audience and stood. His efforts to upstage the cast rubbed everyone the wrong way, and it's rumored that he even gave instructions to some of the stage crew and then exposed himself to one of the writers. Due to his massive ego and unwillingness to cooperate with the staff, he was banned from ever hosting the show again. If you can see that, if you can find it, watching him just completely, he broke the fourth wall constantly. Like, he was to hold the cue cards up a little bit higher. He was doing that kind of old-school vaudevillian shtick that is not what Saturday Night Live is about, unless they're doing a sketch about that. But he completely derailed the entire show. And that was in 79 when, like, at that point, Belushi and Aykroyd had left already. Bill Murray was pretty much the holding it together. There were a lot of people weren't appearing anymore. It was right at the end of that period where SNL was like at its peak. Well, some people consider it at its peak. And then in comes Milton Berle, you know, TV legend, thinks he can do whatever he wants. And yeah, Jay in Ohio, yeah, Milton Berle, and if you can see it, it's so uncomfortable to watch. Just watch the cast members as Milton Berle is ruining the show. Like Gilda Radner, I remember Gilda Radner specifically like looking completely dumbfounded by what was happening. I mean, it's Gilda Radner. He's like upstaging Gilda Radner, you know, who at that time was maybe the biggest star on the show. And here's Uncle Milty doing spit takes that aren't supposed to be there while Gilda Radner is like sitting there going, what the hell am I doing with this guy? Oh, if you can find that episode. All right, we're going to talk more about the worst host and most notorious host of SNL. 312-981-7200 is the talk and text. News is next. Triple Play Thursday. Yeah. Sharon requested Sugar Rose, and Ara Batur is the name of that song. All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. It is Thursday. We're here till 5 a.m. as we are every weekday morning. Steve Grzanich will have your opening bell at 5. followed by Steve Cochran at 6, right here on 720 WGN. We are talking about the worst and kind of most notorious hosts in Saturday Night Live history, and some of which who have been banned forever from the show. And if you want to jump in with your thoughts, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 with talk or text. Let's see. 847 area code said Steven Seagal was the worst host of all time. Steven Seagal was terrible, and lots of nightmare stories about what he did behind the scenes. Said Steven Seagal isn't exactly a charismatic actor. The action movie star, martial arts enthusiast, has been repeatedly parodied for his unbelievable delivery. However, it was his backstage antics that made him one of the worst hosts ever. During an appearance on Watch What Happens Live, former cast member David Spade told Andy Cohen that he was particularly difficult to work with. He was a little tough and was actually tough and said he was tough to work with, and it was hard. He didn't want to play along. In addition to not cooperating with the cast, Seagal pitched several horrible sketch ideas. Here's one of his sketch ideas, Esmeralda, from the comedy mind of Steven Seagal. He says he's got an idea about a scene with a therapist who tries to have sex with a patient who has just been raped.
Great.
Isn't that hilarious?
Wow.
So Nicolas Cage hosted and said the monologue that he's going to be the worst. That Cage himself is the worst host of all time. Then Lauren Michaels was in on the bit, and he goes, nope, that would be Steven Seagal. So they even acknowledged it in the show. Yeah. That sketch sounds hilarious.
Steven.
Yeah. Oh, he's funny. I a couple of years ago when they were about to do the 40th anniversary special, VH1 Classic ran a nonstop marathon from the very first episode to the latest episode of SNL.
Really?
Oh yeah, didn't leave the house, and I did, and my DVR, it was unbelievable, and they showed that one. Now it's weird because a lot of the ones from like the late 70s and in the 80s, and sometimes around that time period, they're truncated. Some of them are only like 40 minutes long because they just cut a bunch of crap out.
Yeah.
The Steven Seagal episode was a half an hour. And it was terrible, too. It was absolutely terrible. And how about this one? Robert Blake hosted November 3rd. You know who Robert Blake is?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know.
Beretta.
That's right. Beretta. Absolutely.
And he was accused of murder?
Of course. People would know that. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. Well, he was.
He didn't.
No, no.
Wait, was he?
No. He was
convicted?
He was acquitted.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was acquitted. So, yeah. But he also was one of the members of our gang, Little Rascals.
Oh, wow.
That's how he got his start.
Who was he?
I don't remember his character's name.
Kid?
No, he was one of the main dudes. It was like he was with the main dudes in our gang.
Well, then.
I can't remember what his character's name was, though. But he was in our gang along with, Alfalfa and Spanky and all that stuff. Darla. All of them.
Right.
So when Robert Blake hosted in 1982, by the way, that was in 1982 was the years basically that belonged to Eddie Murphy. Yeah. That was that stretch where there was really nothing else on that show but Eddie Murphy.
Right. Was Robert Downey Jr.?
No, that's
in there.
No, Robert Downey Jr. was 85.
It's like the lost years.
Yeah, that was Robert Downey Jr., Anthony Michael Hall, yeah. Randy Quaid, Joan Cusack was in that cast. But that cast also produced Billy Crystal, Christopher Guest.
Oh, did it? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. John Lovitz made his debut on the show in that cast. That was when Lorne Michaels came back. He'd left for a while. And he left for 4 years, 4 seasons he was gone.
When they were in?
And no, he came back and brought them in.
Oh, okay.
That was his first season back. It was his first season back. But anyway, Robert Blake, when Robert Blake was on one, he said at that time, like I just said, Eddie Murphy was the man.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept refusing to be a part of any Buckwheat sketches.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because
obviously, it's a sore spot?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But it was like, how are you not going to do a Buckwheat? He ended up doing one. But how are you not going to do a Buckwheat sketch?
How did it go?
Not good.
Okay.
The whole show went bad. But here's the behind-the-scenes story that's really the worst part. And this is in Live from New York, in the book. David Sheffield, who's a writer at the time, said he's the worst SNL host of all time. And this is a quote from him. He was sitting in a room, and a sketch was handed to him by Gary Kroger. Gary Kroger was one of the cast members and also a writer on the show. Mm-hmm. And it was a sketch called The Breezy Philosopher. Blake sat there and he read it with his glasses down on his nose. Then he wadded it up, turned to Kroger and said, I hope you got a tough a-hole, pal, because you're going to have to wipe your butt with this one. And he threw it and bounced it off of Gary's face.
Wow. What was he promoting?
Who at 1982?
Yeah, like what?
I think Beretta was done by that point. Beretta was big in the mid-70s. I don't know. Maybe Beretta was still on. He made a few movies in the 80s as well.
Oh, okay, so maybe.
Maybe he was plugging a movie.
So, like, what was he doing there?
No idea.
According to IMDb, 1983, he was in the TV movie Blood Feud.
Blood Feud. Oh, no, you know what? And you know what else he was in, Dan, in the 80s? He played a preacher. He played a preacher. It was a terrific show, actually. Hell Town.
Noah Hardstep Rivers, 1985.
Okay, 85. So that was a few years later. But that show, by the way, is great. Hell Town, that show ruled. And Robert Blake is, you know, he's a jerk, I would imagine. But he's, you know, I watched the Carson. I don't know if you know this, but I watched Johnny Carson reruns.
No.
Yeah, I do. Oh?
No, not even probably to the point where you would buy DVDs.
No, just to get pencils, to get
right?
A pencil, yeah. I wouldn't do that. But he's been on the reruns a lot because he was on frequently on Johnny Carson because his Robert Blake's appearances on The Tonight Show were legendary.
Was he the go-to?
He was one of the absolute go-tos. He'd come out. He'd always have an unlit cigarette just in his hand. And he was like, you can take that to the bank. And
I think,
you know,
I saw one of your posts. Was he just wearing a t-shirt?
Just last week, yeah. He was on earlier this week. It was Monday. I think it was Monday.
Is that his uniform, by the way? Just that t-shirt, that like black.
No, he never wore a suit. I don't think I ever saw him wear a suit on the show. But he was a regular go-to, and he had all those, you know, you can take that to the bank, and that's the name of that tune. He had all kinds of crazy sayings. He was great on those shows. And Beretta, when I was a kid, Beretta was like the thing. What were you going to say,
Dan? By the way, Norm in Texas letting us know he was Mickey on our
show. Mickey! That's who he was. Mickey. Thank you. Wild Bill says, Martin Lawrence did a raunchy monologue about women. Yes, he did. He is also banned for life from SNL.
Oh, for the monologue?
Yeah, his monologue at the beginning.
Was he any good?
He was fine. Martin Lawrence is funny. I think Martin Lawrence is funny.
Yeah,
so.
I would think. I mean, well, he didn't start. He started stand up. He didn't start improv.
And let me
anything,
see what.
Right? He wasn't like in Color or any of those.
No, he was. I don't know if I don't know if his sitcom had started at that point.
No, it had to have.
Right? I'm looking for the date.
What else is he going to. What was he? House Party?
Stand up. You know, he did movies.
Oh, that's true.
He did movies, too.
Didn't he do House Party?
He was in House Party.
He's in
Do the Right Thing.
Yeah, but you know, you'd think they could get somebody else.
Hold on a second. I got it here somewhere. It's here. I'm just looking for the date. Maybe they don't have the date. No, this one doesn't have the date. But anyway, Martin Lawrence was on, and
I feel it was early 90s.
It probably was. I would guess early 90s, mid 90s, early 90s.
Yeah.
So it was probably when Martin was on. It was probably when his show was on. Early 90s would be that. So they put a 7-second delay in, and they used it 3 times.
Oh my gosh.
And he got some material out, like rebooting, because the 7 seconds thing has to reboot.
Yeah,
he just kept going, and there were the phones lit up.
Oh my gosh. There were
complaint letters.
There's a phone number to SNL?
Well, people can call. They can just call NBC.
Oh, that's true. And, maybe someone has I'm going to find that number and call
right now. I'm calling Lorne Michaels right now.
Immediately.
There's like a red phone next to Lorne Michaels, and he picks it up. I don't like what Martin Lawrence is saying.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, Martin Lawrence was banned for inappropriate humor.
Oh.
And it was really, I remember watching it going, like R-rated stuff that got through.
I wonder what he said he was going to do.
Yeah, that's the thing. He lied. Like, you can't do that. You can't tell Lauren, yeah, this is what my...
Oh, yeah, no.
You can't do that. You stray from what you say.
That's a no-no, I think, for most things. If you say you're going to do one thing. And
that's wrong. You don't do that. All right. So another one that I wanted to mention here is they've got Paris Hilton is on one of the lists.
And oh, my gosh. She
hosted.
What did she even do?
Nothing.
Did they just kind of have her stand around and then everyone else did stuff?
They did a Barbie sketch. If I remember correctly, she played Barbie.
Okay.
Like a young version of Barbie.
Yeah.
And
because I've seen a lot of those where I don't, you know, I can't remember who specifically, but there's a lot of SNLs where they'll have somebody, but they've realized, oh, they're not good.
Right.
So they just kind of have them, like, a line, and then everyone else.
Exactly right. And they kind of, what they did basically was, you know, when she was on, that was at the height of the That's Hot, that, oh, I almost swore.
Simple Life?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, do I hate that show.
Yeah, she's a DJ now.
Who is? Paris Hilton?
Yeah.
God.
Like a records DJ.
Yeah. No, I gotcha. I understand. It's not like she's like, yeah, it's Paris Hilton, man. Yeah.
I mean,
here's some Saga.
Probably
Triple Play Thursday.
Yeah. Triple Play Thursday with Paris Hilton. Yeah. Here's Journey.
Maybe she did at one point. You never know.
I don't know. Yeah. No, but they did, like, have her play the thing. And her ideas were that she wanted to make fun of Jessica Simpson and Lindsay Lohan. And they were like, no.
But you're not good at it.
Yeah. So. She wasn't banned, though. All right, hold on. We got a break here for we got weather, we got traffic. Yeah, man, SNL. Okay. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Saturday Night Live. Good old Don Pardo.
Someone told me some of the SNL musicians were at the National Republican Convention.
Yeah, G.E. Smith and his band.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand that, but...
All right,
G.E. Smith was the leader of the band on Saturday Night Live for a good year, few years.
He retired. I mean, yeah, he's...
You know who he played with, you know, like all the time, who was in the band with Hall & Oates?
Oh. Oh, yeah, actually, yeah.
He's in the damn Christmas video.
Right.
You know, the Christmas tree, whatever, the Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell Rock, right?
Is he in the one where they're on the clouds?
I think so. He's in like
a
lot of them.
He looks very familiar.
Yeah.
Like you
got the ponytail.
Pinpoint.
And
I can always pinpoint him.
He's G.E. Smith.
Yeah.
G.E. Smith and the Saturday Night Live band. Good old Don Pardo. Let's see. Here's another one on the list. Is Andrew Dice Clay. Now, I got to say, I thought Dice was funny on the show. I thought he was funny. I thought he did a good job. But it's kind of a notorious appearance. It was May 12th of 1990. It was right before Ford Fairlane came out. It was during the biggest time of his career, like after he sold out Madison Square Garden for a couple of nights. I happen to think Andrew Dice Clay is funny. I think he's funny. And I think The Dice Man Cometh, his first HBO special, is hysterical. I think he's funny. But boy, he had just a massive fall from grace. But what happened here was that Nora Dunn was completely offended by his material and his misogynistic jokes and stuff, and so she boycotted the show. The musical guest for that night was supposed to be Sinead O'Connor. She boycotted the show as well. But then 2 years from then, she would be forever banned by tearing up a picture of the Pope.
Yeah, I remember watching that, and
so
I think I did something where I walked away, and then I
you
came back,
it?
And I'm like, what happened?
I remember sitting on the couch watching that, and she took the picture of the Pope, fight the real enemy. She ripped up the picture. Dead silence, like no applause, nothing. Dead silence. I remember sitting. I'm like, and I wasn't taping. I wasn't videotaping it. And I was like, what did I? Is that really? Did that just happen? I could not believe that she did it. Couldn't believe that she did it. It's funny. Lorne Michaels banned her, you know, after that for life. But he loved the bit. He loved it. He thought it was great. He really did. He thought it was great. It was a great piece of live television.
I love that. It's like, I love you, but I got banned.
I got banned. You can't tear up a picture of the Pope. So anyway, she boycotted the show. So did Nora Dunn. So they did the show without them. And I can't remember who the musical guest. They brought in a musical guest to play. But Dice is funny on it, particularly if you can find it online. There's a scene with John Lovitz and him where they parody Raging Bull. And he's doing De Niro. And John Lovitz is doing Pesci. And they're doing the scene where... Have you seen Raging Bull?
I haven't.
Okay, but I'm sure you probably know the plot.
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I know.
There's a scene where, like, he repeatedly asks his little brother Joey to punch him in the face. Go ahead, I want you to lay me out. Come on, give me everything. I want you to punch me in the face. And so it's about him, you know, Joe Pesci punching Robert De Niro repeatedly in the face. Because Jake LaMotta was nuts. So the scene, I think it's called Ridiculous Bull. Instead of Raging Bull, it's Ridiculous Bull. I don't know if, Dan, if you can, it's a visual thing, so it wouldn't work on the radio. But if it's out there, find it, because it's really funny. And he just repeatedly asked him to pick up more things in the kitchen and smash him over the head with it, to the point where he picks up the fridge, where Joe picks up the fridge and smashes it over his head. Come on, Joey, we're going to go up to the roof. We're going to jump off the roof. So I thought it was funny. I thought Dice did a good job, but he was, you know.
But it was the stand-up.
His stand-up was fine. I mean, he was fine. He didn't, you know, he didn't do anything bad. It's just that people didn't like him at that time. It was starting to, you know, become unpopular.
Well, then that's not very fair.
No, I don't think it's fair. I don't. I think he was funny. And here's another one that's on the list, who I thought was great. Tom Green. Tom Green was on the list as the worst host.
He was on. Oh, I don't even remember that one.
It was November of 2000. It was right at the height of his MTV popularity. He was dating. His fiance was Drew Barrymore.
Mm-hmm.
Freddie Got Fingered had come out. No, it hadn't come out yet. Freddie Got Fingered hadn't come out yet. And he hosted the show. And I thought he was, because I'm a huge Tom Green fan, as you know. And so I loved it. I thought it was great. And then they did a bit where Drew Barrymore came up on stage. He said, I think we should get married tonight on the show. And so Drew Barrymore said yes. And so for the whole show, they're building up this whole thing. Mm-hmm. So his mother and father are up on stage. He's got friends up there. They're all in tuxes. Right. They put an archway up on the stage.
Uh-huh.
They're playing Here Comes the Bride, and the show ends with her not coming in. And it just goes on for like 5 minutes where they're waiting for Drew Barrymore to come out. She never comes out. And the crowd is like not knowing what's going on. The people on stage are looking around.
Oh, come on. And it's Tom Green, though.
How I know. That's the
know
thing.
That's
exactly.
Like, come on, guys.
Exactly. And it was clearly a bit, but people were so mad.
It's like, this is what he does.
It's exactly what he does. You don't bring Tom Green in and expect him not to do Tom Green stuff.
Exactly.
So, but he's on the list as worst, and I disagree. I totally disagree.
Just because of that.
Yeah, because, everybody hates Tom Green, you know, like most people hate him. And they want to, let's make a list of bad hosts on SNL. Oh, yeah, Tom Green, he's a jerk. Put him on there.
Yeah.
Not true. He's funny. Tom Green is very funny. And Freddie Got Fingered is a great film. Roger says Quentin Tarantino was a terrible host. Yes, he was.
He was. I've apparently missed all these really awful ones.
I don't think they rerun him as much.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
You know, I think NBC tries to hide some of these.
Yeah, of course.
And, I mean, you could watch them on Logo. You can watch reruns on Logo. You can watch reruns on Comedy Central all the time. You're not going to see those. But, yeah, Tarantino was terrible. But I love Roger's description. This will be the last thing he says. He just ran around like a psychotic Popeye. All right, Esmeralda, I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Steve and Johnny are going to be here. Yeah, Steve and Johnny are going to be here. Mike Lookinland, who played Bobby in the Brady Bunch.
Oh, that's right.
He's going to be on the show. We'll talk about the mindset list from Beloit College. That'll be out. And Fly Jams Friday.
Very fun.
All right, see you tomorrow. The news is coming up.